Are you over the age of 25 and need to lose more than 30 pounds? If so, the next 30 seconds are crucial to your well-being because Sensa is sending 30-day free trials to anyone looking to lose the max amount of weight. To experience the most dramatic weight loss results, you must want to lose over 30 pounds. Call 1-800-964-5392 now. Due to overwhelming demand, there is a strict limit of one free trial per household. 1-800-964-5392. 1-800-964-5392.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone in the franchise world. My name is Paul Segreto, and this is Franchise Today. We have a very exciting show for you today, as my guest is Brad Fishman, CEO at Fishman Public Relations. Brad and I will be discussing how social media has really affected PR, and specifically franchise PR. I'm definitely looking forward to that discussion. As evident by the many positive emails and comments I've received about the new format developed for Franchise Today, co-producer Joe Caruso and I are very excited about the future possibilities. Joe continues to line up guests for future shows, and the biggest challenge right now is working through requests to be a guest on the show, as well as recommendation for guests and topic suggestions. You know, I can tell you that it's a challenge indeed. Joe spends many hours networking with franchise professionals by phone, in person, at various franchise business network events, and, of course, online within social media. Couple that with subject matter research, show scheduling, and development of relevant questions, and it's most evident that I have the easy job as I get to sit in the spotlight as show host, knowing that the hard, tedious work has already been done. It's nice to feel well-prepared, and I definitely appreciate all that Joe does for Franchise Today. I'd also like to welcome today all the new listeners that learned about the show from Joe last night at Stark & Stark's Franchise Business Network meeting in southern New Jersey, and a special shout-out to Bernie Siegel of Siegel Capital, who was also at the event. As you know, Ron Feldman, CEO at Siegel Capital, was our guest on Franchise Today a couple of weeks ago. Be sure to listen to our discussion on demand at www.blogtalkradio.com/Franchise Today Show. Well, as I know, today's guest, Brad Fishman, and I can talk well over an hour, so let's move quickly to franchise news and some of our other features so we can dive right into today's discussion on social media and PR. You know, more women are seeing that they can run their own businesses, but don't necessarily feel the need to learn through the School of Hard Knocks, says Dina Dwyer Owens, former IFA chairwoman. That's just one reason why women in franchises are an equation for success. Other reasons include the fact that women are collaborators and most women have a tendency to like order. Dina Dwyer Owens can be heard on the podcast and can be accessed at allbusiness.com. And here's some financial news of some of the other leading restaurant brands in franchising. Analysts are expecting McDonald's Corp to continue its streak of increased earnings and sales when it reports third quarter results on Thursday, which is today. They predict the Oak Brook, Illinois-based McDonald's will post robust sales for September, which will come on the heels of the company reaching a record high share price last week and reporting increases in same-store sales for July and August. While many McDonald's franchisees also expect a boost in sales growth in the short term, they express concerns about lower check average from initiatives like the breakfast dollar menu and costs associated with the chain's plan to remodel hundreds of restaurants, according to a report from Janney Capital Markets. Now, Domino's Pizza reported a double-digit increase in third-quarter sales as an aggressive marketing campaign for its reformulated pizza continued to drive traffic. Same-store sales at this domestic Domino's units rose 11.7% for the September 12 ended quarter, which was entirely traffic-driven as check averages were down slightly. Now, Domino's third-quarter net income declined 6.9% to $16.6 million, or 27 cents per share. But over at Sonic Corporation, parent to the 35-unit drive-in chain, things weren't quite as rosy as they reported a 72% decline in net income for the fourth quarter on one-time charges and continued declines in sales. They reported net income of $4.7 million or $0.08 per share. Now, you can read more about these three brands along with additional information on the recent Burger King acquisition at Nation's Restaurant News at www.nrn.com. Well, let's enter the IFA corner. Valuable information to promote IFA's Vet Fan program in advance of Veterans Day on November 11th is drawn from the semi-annual Vet Fan program survey. The recently distributed survey was emailed to IFA members who participate in the program and offer financial incentives to honorably discharge veterans to acquire a franchise. The deadline for completing the survey is October 29th. So if you haven't already done so, please complete the survey and submit it as soon as possible. It's really important. Now, on November 3rd, the IFA Wednesday Wise webinar will address the best markets right now for international franchise expansion. Speakers will include Castles Brock and Blackwell partner Larry Weinberg, DLA Piper U.S. partner Michael Brennan, Edwards Global Services Chief Development Officer Robert Shaw, and Farg Benson partner Brian Schnell. The session will be conducted from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. IFA Supplier Sponsor Forum, actually, the IFA Supplier Forum sponsors the Wednesday Wise webinars, which are approved for 50 CFE participation credits apiece. Now, I'll leave the IFA corner right now, as during my discussion with Brad Fishman today, I'll be sure to ask him a thing or two about the IFA. As everyone within franchising knows, Brad is quite active within the IFA. But I have to tell you what's on my mind about the illogical and sometimes comical things we sometimes find in franchising. McDonald's, the Big Golden Arches, announced plans to start hosting weddings at its Hong Kong restaurants, saying the idea to add nuptial packages to the menu stemmed from consumer demand. Wedding deals will include decorations, McDonald's-themed gifts, and personalized menus that can include an apple pie wedding cake. People said they're dated here, were met here at McDonald's and want to get married here. Are you kidding me? Don't get me wrong. I love McDonald's. In fact, in my recent interview with Nancy Weingartner, Franchise Times, I was asked about my favorite franchise fast food, and I answered McDonald's, and it's Mac. I mean, who doesn't love two all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, and pickled onions on a sesame seed bun? But, you know, could just see it now in the wedding. Oh, look, over there, there's the carving station. I'll have two slices of that quarter pounder, a slice of the fillet of fish, and are those french fries with a delicate dipping sauce? Tastes like ketchup. And everyone, please hold up your glass of McDonald's new smoothie as we toast the bride and groom. Time to say goodbye as Ronald McDonald and the Hamburglar escort the bride and groom into their limo as they get set to honeymoon in Legoland. Are you kidding me? Well, I'm not kidding you when I tell you we have one of the brightest minds in franchise public relations on today's show. Brad Fishman is CEO at Fishman Public Relations, but his work within franchising does not stop there. In addition to Fishman PR, Brad is also the co-founder of Investor Awareness Incorporated and North Shore Public Relations. He keeps on top of industry trends and news by remaining extremely active in Franchise Industry Association, and also sits on the board of directors of Franchise Payments Network, Fran Fund, FranchiseWorks.com, and previously served on the board of directors of Franchise. He has also previously served as chairman of the IFA's Franchise Supplier Forum, as well as serving as a past executive board member and board member of the IFA. Currently, he serves on the IFA's membership committee and the FranPAC advisory board. Brad, welcome to Franchise Today.
Thanks, Paul, for having me. It's kind of interesting what you're kind of talking about. I received my first share of stock when I was 10 years old at McDonald's. So when you told me they hit their high last week, I have never sold a share. So obviously it's been doing very well over the years. But it's interesting. I did not know they hit their high last week. So very exciting news I got to hear this morning.
Yes, very exciting news, Neil. And talking about exciting news, and maybe not so exciting for Ron Feldman that I mentioned earlier.
Well, by the way, I thought Ron called me about 15 minutes ago. and he told me I was going to be on the show.
So I know it's kind of a little bittersweet right now for you that the Phillies lost last night, and I know Ron is probably stewing in it.
Yeah, he wasn't too happy. He called me about 15 minutes ago, and now we kind of have a side bet who's going to get more listeners this weekend. So
we're going to make it a good time
and make it a great show for you today.
Well, great. I appreciate you being on here. But before we jump into the brave new world of social media and PR today, let's go back to the beginning. Talk about the, if you would, the advent of specialized franchising PR and basically how Fishman PR began.
Hopi, my pleasure. Actually, my partner is my wife, Sherry, who started in franchise PR, I better not say this too loud, but in the mid-'80s. And she started at a firm that was one of the forefronts of the industry, a company called S&S Public Relations, which was a Chicago-based firm. And, you know, a few other people in the industry have started there also. And she was fortunate to work with some great companies over there, including the one that she became most prominent involved in, which was Subway. And in 1991, she had been there for a few years, because if she hears me say this, I'm going to get shot. And I got to be careful with that with my wife. And but she would go in there, and she decided to take a jump into her own. And I joined her about 7 months later. I was in a family business in a chain of check cashing stores. And one thing led to another, and back then we were faxing to each other. And she would have me go over press releases and proofread them and send them back by fax. And one day we started talking, and we went to my parents and her parents, because like I said, I was in a family business, and we decided it would be a right opportunity for the strengths of what we both have for me to join her. And that's kind of how Fishman started. And like I said, that was in 1991, so it's been a long time, and it's been working with hundreds of great companies over the years that really kept us in this business.
That is great. Yeah, I remember S&S, and also remember one, wasn't it one out of the Midwest back then, Valentine and Radcliffe or something?
That was probably before my time. That firm I don't remember. Actually, the two prominent firms back in the early days were, you know, you had S&S, and you had a part of, with I don't know if you've talked to him. I'm sure you've probably talked to him before with John Hayes.
Right,
exactly. He had the Hayes Group back in the days when he was working out of Philadelphia.
Right, that's interesting. That's interesting indeed, and it's neat to see your success and certainly your success working hand-in-hand with your wife. I know there's many out there that that couldn't do that, so our hats are off to you.
A lot of people want to know how I get to do that.
Really, my hat's off to your wife for putting up with you.
That's probably what you hear more often.
Well, you know, Fishman is one of the most respected and long-lived franchise PR firms. You know, what's been your approach and what are some of the reasons for your success?
You know, I consider us a very, very proactive public relations agency. And we have to really look into different things which makes our clients successful. You know, a lot of the public relations agencies, not necessarily in the franchising part, will send out, in the early days, press releases. We've always had a strong belief that it's the relationships we've developed with reporters. And if we don't know the reporters, because reporters will come and go, especially some of the smaller newspapers, TV stations, our job is to really learn how to proactive and look for the type of information they're looking for and push stories that we think are important. I mean, a lot of people say, great, I know to a lot of franchise organizations, when they open their 25th franchise, it becomes very important. We've learned and we've taught our staff and worked with them. So, you know, the Wall Street Journal is not going to be interested for the most part in when a franchise opens their 25th location. Our job is to really give the reporters information they're looking for, but more importantly, not to waste their time with stories that we feel, you know, they are important to a lot of people, but look for stories that they are going to look like their readers would like to know about. And, you know, we've been fortunate to have a great team of employees over the years that have worked with us. And we've developed what we like to call the Fishman PR way. And we, you know, we go through seminars. We have programs that really teach our staff to follow the way we hope. We're always improving on it. And, you know, social media. I mean, social media has become a big part of what public relations is. And we had to adapt to it. And we learn from what we do. But look what makes our clients. Our job is to keep our clients in the media and achieve the public relation goals that they're going after. Because that's why when they get that, you know, let's be honest, all my clients are paying me on a monthly retainer. So we got to go out month to month to prove to them that we are really helping them achieve their goals.
Right. Well, you mentioned the word team. Who are the people that make up the Fishman team, and who does what?
Well, we're very, very fortunate. Like, as I mentioned before, Sherry and I have been partners in this since I joined her in 92, but in the early of 92. But, you know, she started the firm in 91. And we've had our COO, Deborah Vilches, who's been with us for 12, 13 years. And we have Jamie Isaacs, who's a VP with us. Mike Nasetic is another VP with us. And these people have been with us and came from various different backgrounds. And but then, you know, we're always having great staff here really working together. And, you know, between Deb and Sherry really help organize the training methods which we want to teach them from the top down. And it's very important for them to realize that we do not just go out and send press releases. Our job is, as I always tell people, it's my name on the door. So I want them to be proud of the work that they're sending out and really work with, you know, everybody in the media to know, you know, it's got to be done one way. And that's the way we teach it here. We're always, like as I mentioned, we're always going to adapt to it. But Deb and Sherry are the ones who really put together the program and make sure everyone is following the format.
Well, that's a good point, you know, with your name on the door, because obviously that translates very well into the franchise community, and for franchisors whose brand name is on the door and the sign, so definitely have the same perspective.
Well, like I said, as I know Joe, matter of fact, you know, Joe Caruso, I've seen Joe around, and, you know, I attend 20 to 25 plus events a year. So
right. If
there's a problem, they're going to find me.
Absolutely. You can't be more visible than that. And I know Joe participates in a lot of the events, especially up and down the Northeast. And like I said last night, he was at the Stark and Stark event. Yeah, it's kind of hard to hide when you're that visible. Yeah. And I know certainly
I mean, I
you
leave
are
a week
visible.
From, I leave a week from Tuesday for L.A. for the IFA Franchise Development Session, where I'm a sponsor with a few other companies, and we go right to the West Coast Franchise Expo, then I go right to Vegas to the Franchise Times Restaurant Finance Conference. So over that period, I'm probably going to run into a tremendous amount of people in the franchising space.
I would say so. And so what's your game of choice when you're in Vegas?
Being in the franchise, and unfortunately, we spend so much time in Vegas, I used to always love blackjack. I'm a blackjack guy. But I was there, you know, I'm there six to ten times a year.
Right.
And the excitement isn't there as much for me anymore like I used to. And I used to find, that's one thing I'm disappointed about, because there's nothing more than I used to like to do than sit at a blackjack table. But those days are over.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little about how franchisors utilize PR firms, because, you know, some of them are looking to use them for franchise lead generation. Some use PR firms for consumer messaging. But more importantly, what are reasonable and unreasonable expectations that franchisors have in using PR firms for these two objectives?
Paul, you just asked a fabulous question, and this is something we are asked all the time. And I would probably say about 60 to 70% of my clients are using our firm, probably, I won't say exclusively, but pretty heavily weighed towards lead generation. And then I've got clients of mine that will not allow us to do anything with lead generation because of part of our fee will be paid out of their marketing fund. And it's really to help the franchisees on a local level and build their companies. I mean, build their franchise locations to increase sales. So we're all across the board. Obviously, a lot of the small franchisors, lead generation is a very, very important part of their what they're using public relations agencies for. I mean, it's a tough time, and we all know the last couple of years have been a more difficult time for a lot of franchise organizations to grow. So when they are using my firm, they are using us a lot for the lead generation. But, you know, we all know, validate, if you can get all the leads in the world you want, if your franchisees are not doing well, you're not going to validate well. And when you're not validating, you're not going to sell franchises. So it becomes a vicious circle.
All too often, you know, when we talk about expectations, franchisors will look for that magical silver bullet. Do you feel at times they look to you for that magical silver bullet, that you're going to have the lead generation answer that's going to help them sell more franchises?
We'd like to think sometimes we will, but it's not going to work for other times. I mean, with the number of franchisors we're working with, there's going to be various different things. You're going to run into a hot industry right now where PR, it could be the magical bullet, and which is going to help them really jumpstart or whatever it is. Then there's some more difficult, you know, look at the printing industry. I mean, it's a more difficult industry to generate publicity for, and the investment's a lot higher. But we are helping a concept get the leads that are going to help them sell, in a lot of cases, which are going to be conversions. So there's lots of different ways to use public relations, but we're just one tool that they all use. You know, there's the internet advertising, SEO searches, you know, social media. These are all different type of tools which are all going to help them achieve their ultimate goal. But to think that PR is going to be the magic one for most concepts, it's not going to be that. It's going to be a big part of what they're using to really generate some of the leads.
Right. Well, what makes a franchisor and a PR firm engagement successful? And on the other side, what dooms the collaboration to failure?
The key word in all this is communication. And, you know, there'll be a lot of our clients that were on the phone or emails or everything multiple times a day. We like to keep updated about what's happening in the company. But on the other hand, we don't want to overburden them. Our job is to come up with ideas that are going to help them achieve their publicity goals, and which could be anything from the social, can be, you know, anything on the internet. You know, it's dramatically changed public relations since I started. And, you know, you're talking about 92, and it's dramatically changed. I remember when I was there, like I said, I was literally faxing press releases out. But it continues to ever, you know, it's going to be ever changing, and it's really been able to really get the communication no matter what it is. You know, in those days it was phone, but now email is a big part of what's going on. And to us, that's one of the most important things, is to really know what our client is communicating, what his goals are, if they're changing, about everything that's going around, both the services that we're offering to them and what they really need.
You know, it's certainly a lot easier communicating an email and reading an email than reading those rolled-up thermo pieces of fax paper that we used to have to read.
Oh, God, I hated that, especially when you had the N with the red going down the bottom. And, I mean, it's dramatically changed. But, you know, I still would like to think that phone is such a big part of what everyone does, that I don't
right.
want to fall in love with, you know, no, there's not a day that goes by that I don't just pick up the phone and call clients. You know, we can email back and forth. Things change in the communication. I want to hear what people have to say. I want to hear their tone. And things that, you know, sometimes for better or for worse. I mean, those things that they're not going to write in an email to me, that when I'm on the phone with them, they'll tell me things. And I can tell in their voice. I go, okay, really tell me what you're thinking right now. And you know, email, I know it's such a big part of what all of us do now. But I'm still a phone person.
Yes, I imagine you are. You've got a great audio presentation, without a doubt.
Thank you.
Definitely got some good verbal skills, and I can tell you like talking on the phone, and that's great, and you're right. People like to talk, and it's also good. You can hear a lot more, and you can see a lot more through the way what they're speaking about, as opposed to in an email. And I think that's absolutely very valuable. You know, we titled the show today, you know, how has social media really affected PR? So let's kind of drill down on that a little bit. How has social media really changed PR and the communications landscape?
It's becoming such a big part of what our firm does and what all public relations agencies do. I mean, I'm on Facebook, you're on Facebook, my kids are on Facebook. And, you know, that's just one thing. LinkedIn is a big part of what everyone does. There's people that you have the opportunity to meet now that normally you probably wouldn't. You know, as I said, I'm on the road all the time. So for me, it's a little bit different, but majority of people don't travel like I do. I fly 100,000 plus miles a year. but it gives them the ability to really communicate with people that you might not have the opportunity to meet. And it's a wonderful thing. It's important to us that when we, let's use a thing, if we get a hit in Wall Street Journal, the ability to Twitter it out, to put it on the Facebook, and it goes from friend to friend to friend. It goes into the LinkedIn networks, and it keeps on evolving. It's no matter how well we can do, back as well, we'll talk about the old days again, we'd get something in the Wall Street Journal. If someone was busy on the Wednesday and they never got to read the journal, that thing, most cases, they'll never see the story. It has the ability to replicate itself and take on its own life that you couldn't do without it. And the ability to look at it, you know, you don't have to worry about a clip anymore, like the way we used to produce them by hand or with a photocopy machine. It gives the ability for us to really take a story and develop its own life. We put it on, we'll have people in my office at Twitter. I have 3 people on a social media team. And in those days, I mean, that would never have been happening. And it's just part of what we do and how we grow and how we're evolving.
And do you see social media also changing the way that the messages themselves, the PR messages, go out?
Yes, I see it as. But, you know, we're still a big believer in the old method of still emailing it, putting the message out there, generating the story, and follow up with phone. But what social media is, like as I mentioned before, it's something that we've all been part of, and I think it's going to continue to grow. It's nothing that's going to be able to do on it. I think a lot of people still have a lot of questions about it, but I think it's going to be part of everyone's, if it's not part of your PR team, your marketing team, whatever you want to call it, you're missing the boat. I mean, you got to develop the tools for both the consumer and the franchise development, and you know, you've seen these contests out there. They're getting into the franchise inquiry forums. It's just part of what we're going to continue to evolve. And a lot of it's still experimentation. I mean, we know some stuff that works, but we're going to continue to try stuff to truly enhance the message we're getting out to everybody out there in the franchising who our clients are looking to do.
So with that in mind, is social media making old school PR firms obsolete?
If an old school PR firm is not evolving with the changes, I would say yes. But the firms that I know that specialize in the franchising space are all going into the social media. So, you know, I'd like to think that none of us are old school and we're keeping up with the times. So the franchising community is really, all their goals will be met by the firms that are competing in the space, because we are all keeping up with it. You know, some of us are going to spend more dollars and money and resources and to do different things. But everyone that I know, the major firms that are in are all doing the same thing. So, you know, the answer is going to be yes, but I don't think that anyone in the franchising industry is going to have a problem with what the firms that specialize in this space are doing.
Right. I agree with you there. You know, in any industry, there are some firms, some entities that, you know, refuse to adapt to new technology. It's interesting to hear that you have an entire team, related to social media. I think that's a very wise move. There's too many, especially within franchising, that haven't embraced social media quite the way they should. And you brought up a good point about talking on the phone, and a lot of times you can kind of hear a change in tone. And I heard a little bit of a change in tone when you started talking more about social media. Do you still have some trepidation about social media?
Well, if my office will joke around, I'm probably the least progressive of my firm. You know, and, you know, Deb and Sherry, who are with us, are definitely...
I think we lost them.
Well, they're losing the charge more than I do.
Brad, if we lost you, please call back.
You can't hear me?
This is Paul Segreto at Franchise Today.
Okay.
Oh, you're back. Okay.
I apologize. I didn't think I got lost anywhere. Can you hear me, Paul?
I thought maybe you hung up on me.
No, I wouldn't do that. No, as I was mentioning, Sherry and Deborah, my firm, are definitely more the progressive with what goes on in social media. And,
right.
You know, I'm definitely the one who was a little bit behind it, but we have a very easy thing here. If two outvote me, then we go on. And, you know, I was definitely the one who would not agree with some of the things that are occurring, and I was proven wrong. So no matter what my thoughts are, I've got to be, just like a franchise system, I've got to go with what the people in who are running this company really believe in.
Well, that's why they're there, right?
Yeah, and that's exactly it. I mean, Sherry is the president. Deb is my COO. And, you know, I'll be blunt. There was a couple times I was kicking and screaming along the way. But we decided to make the investment. And I said to them, I said, okay, great. I'll put the resources in, and you got to prove it to me. And they proved it to me.
Well, that's great. How does Fishman PR leverage social media specifically to get the client messages out? And I think the important part of this question is getting it out to the right audiences.
You know, we're using the tools that most people are using out there. You know, we do have the LinkedIn, and we'll send the messages out. We will use the Twitter and get the messages out, Twitter it out. And if you could notice, I have a Twitter account. I don't use it. But I have people on my team. That's what they're doing. Facebook is a tremendous amount, is a very important. You know, all the things I've read out there, and you probably correct me if I'm wrong, isn't Facebook, besides Google, the number one visited site out there?
Yeah, it definitely is.
And so, you know, we got to design and manage their Facebook presence. So a large number of fans, they actually give the franchise opportunity credibility. It gives the concepts credibility. And, you know, the Foursquare and the Dig and all the things, having a social media team here that we can afford to do for our clients. And it gives us the ability to really get that message out there and really work with them to develop the results that they're doing. I mean, we can do all the great things in the world, but if they're not achieving their goals, which a lot of cases is to increase the awareness in the local markets and help them sell more franchises, we've got to do that. Whatever tools we're out there, we're going to continue to develop it, to optimize everything we can to do for our clients to help them reach their goals.
Do you see this more as a as an evolution that's going to continue?
Yeah.
And not quite a revolution like everybody talks about, you know, a social media revolution. And, of course, we've seen those videos that have gone viral about the social media revolution. I mean, is this something that's going to continue to evolve and be built upon, or do you foresee it changing direction?
I think certain things will change direction, but I think everything is going to continue to be an evolution. I remember when people first started getting franchise leads from the internet. They just thought it was going to be something that was going to die out. It hasn't. You know, it's kind of settled into where it is. And I think this is going to continue to really evolve, and people are going to learn which tools. And let's be honest, there's going to be other things that are going to come up, that MySpace was bigger than Facebook. And now something else, who knows what's going to come in down the road. And you're going to be, I really think you're going to be able to really target it to specific audience better and better as the products are going to evolve into. And
yeah,
I think
certainly the numbers are astronomical. I mean, I thought when MySpace hit 200 million people, I thought they would never be replaced. And now here we are closing in on 600 million people on Facebook. It really is unbelievable when you look at the magnitude of the number of followers and members in these organizations, in these groups.
And, you know, I still think, to me, the best one for business right now is LinkedIn. And maybe I'm in the minority.
No, but I believe LinkedIn is exceptional, especially if one is trying to promote within B2B. If it's in a B2C environment, Facebook is definitely gaining ground and coming up with all kinds of new tools and technology and new applications and new advertising and marketing possibilities. But I agree with you. I mean, LinkedIn is too often ignored in the social media marketing landscape, especially by franchisors. I think it's a valuable tool. I think probably what part of the problem might be is that right now there really isn't much of an interaction between Facebook and LinkedIn like there is between LinkedIn and Twitter and between Facebook and Twitter. But I think it's just a matter of time. But I think certainly for a B2B situation and objectives, definitely LinkedIn is an extremely valuable tool. I know it's one of the biggest ones that we use to promote Franchise Today, which, of course, is part of social media in and of itself. And we get quite a reach that we couldn't get if we or it'd be more difficult to get if we weren't using LinkedIn, for sure.
And I think a lot of what's going on with Facebook, especially with contests, they're cracking down on that. And it's part of what you were able to do a year ago, 2 years ago, you can't do anymore. And it's part of evolving into what's going to fit their profile. And, you know, let's talk about it. Facebook knows what they've got there. They've got something there. And this is not something to change. And I think they're going to learn to target it because eventually they're going to have to make money or more money. And they're going to have the ability to work with them to help on the, especially on the B2C, knowing what they have there, there's going to be more opportunities to market and advertise, but at a cost.
Absolutely, okay. Without a doubt. I mean, you just think of the breadth of the numbers. If Facebook would just charge $1 a year to be a member, would generate almost $600 million worth of revenue just by getting a dollar. It's mind-boggling, to say the least.
And I think they're going to realize, not realize, they know what they've got, but the ability that a lot of companies and franchises and franchisees are going to want to be able to really market to specific target audiences. And that's what it's going to be. You know, I've seen, you know, I get solicited all the time from people who've got apps. They're going to say, we can do this, 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 but you have to be able to send it out to your whole, you know, all your Facebook friends. And
right.
You know, there's kids, you know, my kids have Facebook friends in the thousands. And, you know, eventually I think that's going to be a fee to do some of these type of programs.
Yes, without a doubt. You know, when you look at fees and cost of doing business, you know, there's a lot of people that, especially within franchising, who feel by utilizing social media to promote their franchise concepts to both potential franchisees and consumers, that feel that it's a very cost-effective, and many believe that it's almost no cost to do so. And I know that there are actually some that are foregoing, you know, PR firms, thinking a do-it-yourself strategy will work and ultimately save themselves even more money. What's your opinion on that?
I think especially the smaller concepts that are doing this, they're taking away what they do best, and that is trying to build their business and work with your franchisee to make sure they're successful. Obviously, they can try to do it by themselves, but in my personal opinion, they're taking away what they should be doing, which is making their franchise successful. I'm not saying if they want to bring it internal, that's up to them. I mean, there's things out there that I know our firm really just can't do. I mean, let's go back to the famous Domino's Pizza scenario. My firm is based in Chicago. I don't expect my staff to be checking emails at 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. The viral thing of the Domino's situation, there's nothing. Are there outsourcing places we can go to? Absolutely. But, you know, there's nothing going to be perfect because of opinions that occur, and there's lots of companies that have done it. It just takes dollars, monies, and resources. And people can try to do it by themselves, but to me it's taken away from what they do best.
Right, that's a good point. But what about from the standpoint of cost? I mean, I know as well, I know you probably feel the same way I do, that, you know, franchisors would be foolish to think that they can put together their own social media program and forego all types of traditional marketing and PR and make it happen themselves. But you know, let me back up a second. I won't put the words in your mouth. I mean, do you believe that it is foolish that they attempt to do that themselves?
I 100% agree with you. That, you know, and you can try to do it for your company stores if that's what you really will like. But most cases, your franchisees, they're buying a franchise for a reason. They want to follow a model. And if you're going to tell your franchisees, you know, let's say you own a sandwich chain, you're hoping that they're going to make their shop as best as possible to really develop a good consumer base. Customers come in all the time, and they're going to be so wonderful, love their concept so much, they're going to open another location. You don't want them fixated on sitting on Twitter all day long about a new customer coming along.
Right.
So I agree with you. It's you know, they'd be foolish to think they could do this all themselves.
Right, and also, and I know there are some out there within the social media world that believe that social media can be a one size fits all strategy, and I adamantly disagree that it needs to be based upon the brand and the concept and the and of course the resources available in time and manpower, just like. There's no one-size-fits-all strategy that works for public relations.
I agree with you wholeheartedly on that, Dan. You know, it has to be a set program which is going to help them achieve what they are looking for. You know, if they're trying to bring contests in and consumers and, you know, these situations with the Groupons and all this stuff right now, that if it's going to help them, yes, it's wonderful, but you got to look at the dollar and cents issue. Are you going to have the manpower to do it, let alone to get the message out? And what is it really going to do? If you're going to bring in a net business in that's not profitable, are they going to return? And we all have to look at things that it's going to be a financial, successful program to make everyone happy.
You know, you brought up Groupon, and it has taken the world by storm, so to speak, and others have popped up as well, like Living Social and some of the other coupon-based groups. But what's interesting about it is how this is all integrating together. You know, one of the things that we talk about a lot at Franchise Essentials is integrated franchise marketing. And when you look at something as simple as Groupon, not only do you have advertising, but you have marketing. And yes, we know a lot of our listeners think advertising and marketing are one and the same, but of course they're not. But you have advertising, marketing, and PR wrapped up into one because on the Groupon offer, obviously, it's like a mini web page. There's something about the company. There's about the offer. There's links to other things. And it's actually become a very complex world in the world of advertising, marketing, and PR because so many different tools can be integrated together. And I'm sure you see a lot of that as well.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned I happen to sit on the board and was an early investor in Franchise Payments Network. I just happened to be talking to the CEO, Tom Epstein, the other day, and Groupon put something out, or I believe it was Groupon, it was one of those type of facts, where someone would be able to buy, I believe it was $40 gift card for $20.
Right.
Except when they thought they'd maybe get 100. Make a long story short, they had over 2,500 looking for it.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have enough gift cards. They had to call an emergency order of gift cards in.
Yeah, it's amazing. And a lot of franchisors today and small business owners alike need to look at the potential ramifications that come out of it and the stress that it might put on operations, the stress that it might put at the unit level. Like you said, even the logistics of having enough, gift cards. Absolutely, it's a big picture. And specifically within franchising, we mentioned earlier about B2C and B2B, and of course we know in the franchise relationship, there are parts B2C and B2B within the franchise relationship, but it's actually more complex. You add to the mix, earnings claims, financial performance representations, misrepresentations, the potential of fraud, disclosure laws, etc. And there's a lot to think about in social media communications that a lot of franchisors aren't aware of, and might not even be aware of or consciously aware of, and then of course some might use it to their own advantage. And specifically, what I'm talking about is the inadvertently or inadvertently making non-compliant earnings claims within social media. And certainly, when you talk about PR firms, and I think there is a distinction between PR firms and franchise PR firms, because you're dealing with that same dynamic and needing to understand and requiring to understand the franchise dynamics. What's your thoughts about advertent and inadvertently making non-compliant earnings claims through social media specifically?
It's a scary thing. And, you would think that most of your senior staff and your salespeople would know the difference. But the question becomes out there, when about someone who, you said the key word was inadvertently. You have an assistant who goes, wow, it's so great. I mean, they did, 24,000 the first day in business. Is that become an earnings claim? And, they did the first year, it was so great, we were so excited about them, they did 600,000 the first year in business. Those are numbers that which have to be disclosed. And it's a scary process. And obviously the lawyers, I do not know of any cases, maybe you do, have any cases come up like that yet?
I haven't seen any, and I'm anxious to talk next week to Jonathan Redgrave, who will be my guest on the show, and we talk about this, the legal implications of social media. And I know I've spoken with a couple of other attorneys last year at the IFA convention about earnings claims within social media. And, it's foolish for franchise salespeople, and I'll throw, brokers and consultants into the mix, because I think they're probably more apt to take advantage of this situation. But it's foolish to think that you can get away with an inadvertent, intentional and non-intentional earnings claim within social media. And one key area that I see where they make the quote-unquote mistake too often is when you have a good solid PR piece and there's a quote in there with a number about actual sales that can or can be misconstrued as an earnings claim in itself, but if it's strictly a promotional piece, it's not. But yet, a franchise salesperson that provides the link to that article and then uses it to promote the franchise opportunity, it's definitely an earnings claim at that point. And for the people out there that think that they can get away with that, the internet lasts forever. At some point, when a franchisee that failed sits in front of their attorney and the attorney says, what happened? Why did you get involved in this? And they say, well, I saw this message on Twitter. That attorney's going to search long and hard, and he's going to eventually find that message, and he's going to use it to his client's advantage for sure.
I mean, back in the old days, people would have a great article that would come out, and they would black out the earnings or the numbers in it. And, like you said, it doesn't take long for people to recreate whatever they want to find.
Absolutely.
And there's enough information out. And that's why I think you're finding more and more franchises go to earnings claims. and putting that in. But and like you said, they're only putting very tiny specific information, and there's enough stuff out there that people are going to make claims for it. And I think it's only a matter of time before it will become lawyers are way too smart right now, and especially if you have a failed franchisee, they're going to do anything they can to try to recoup some of their investment.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, is there some kind of insanity or collective amnesia going around that causes people, you know, in this brave new world of social media, that these non-compliant earnings claims don't count and present no risks?
Well, I think the smart franchisors are going to realize this. But in the scary part is where people who are doing it that are not part of the process, where in the old days, you know, you're worried about your salespeople and your senior team. It's now the ability to put anything out there and throw it out onto the social media, which, as we know, just develops a life of its own.
Yeah, the thing that I caution franchise clients about is that a lot of times the message that you put out there isn't just read or noticed by your intended target audience. There actually could be some people sitting on the sidelines observing the discussion, especially in the likes of a blog or in a discussion on LinkedIn. They could actually be sitting on the sidelines and can also rely on that information, and that something needs to be considered, that there are eyes and ears out there that may utilize the information that might not have originally been intended specifically for them. So that is something to be cautious about.
You know, and I still think the million-dollar question is where social media is going to fit in the lead generation part of a program for franchisors. And, you know, we do things now, and it's a big part of what goes on. You know, we'll send screenshots of fans asking for a specific franchise to our clients coming from a Facebook page showing that if they do open in these markets, they do have a built-in fan base already, or more importantly, a built-in customer base. And it's something that's really important that people are going to want, especially, you know, everyone knows, you know, let's use In-N-Out Burger, even though it is not a franchise. I happened to be out in Orem, Pennsylvania last week out that way, and all of a sudden I found out that they have four In-N-Out Burgers in Utah right now.
Oh, wow.
And everyone knows that's something that is built viral. That living in Chicago, we can't find that. It is slowly building West Coast, but that's something that's built. Social media is a perfect scenario for that. You know, it's just part of what goes on at the viral scenario, that people are building the excitement before it even comes.
Absolutely, and you know, going back to the earnings representations and what have you, I think the word of advice that I would give is instead of putting so much attention or spending so much attention on trying to sneak something through, maybe people would be better well served spending more attention on how to use it more, how to use it correctly and more effectively.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you, and that, you know, it's just something eventually is going to be brought up. We don't know when, and I'm sure if there's a case, eventually it's going to get out there. But there's too many smart attorneys out there that are looking for that type of information.
Well, certainly when it pops up, we're going to hear about it through PR and social media efforts for sure. What, you know, changing gears slightly, you know, what can you tell us about, you know, some of the other franchise-related businesses that you're involved in?
Well, I was originally on the original board of directors and original investor in FranChoice, which was one of the, you know, the premier broker networks out there. Broker, consultants, you know, the word, you know, the great ones are, you know, everyone knows that the main three or four of them are, you know, Franet was the original of it, then FranChoice and the Entrepreneur Source and Matchpoint. And they have the ability, and it helped me really open my eyes to a lot of different things. And, you know, as I mentioned, FranChoice I'm no longer on the board of directors. And, you know, we're very fortunate to work with the Entrepreneur Source, which, you know, is a wonderful company and the ability that they're helping people there. And from that involvement, you know, I was fortunate, you know, Tom Epstein, the CEO of Franchise Payments Network, had gotten involved in Fran Fund. Jeff Sieber, who's the CEO, and him and I both had originally sat on Franchise, and we got involved in this company and eventually bought out our partners and been very lucky in that. And the last one I got involved in was a company called Franchise Works with Terry Corkery, which is one of, you know, a search site on the internet. And because I'm around so much, and I've been fortunate to make some great friendships and relationships and got into some business deals over the years because, and as I've learned all my lessons, I do the deals that I do best in are the things that I know, which is franchising.
Right, and I know you definitely exhibit a very strong passion for franchising and know you're very active and involved in the IFA. For the listeners, because we have a lot of startups and emerging franchisors that are not members of the IFA, can you give us your opinion on the importance of the IFA and maybe share with us some of your involvement at the IFA over the past year?
Oh, my pleasure. I mean, the IFA, to me, for every size of franchisor, they represent to the franchising community. They represent to the political scenery, what's going on there, and it really helps, I think, for a small franchisor, it's almost more beneficial because what the mistakes they can possibly make. If you attend an IFA convention, I know, Paul, you go to them, I do go to them, and most of your listeners probably should if they don't. And it's a networking opportunity. The stories about the mistakes, the investment you'll make in the IFA, you will make up 10 spade over just on not doing some of the mistakes other franchisors will make. The networking opportunities, the legal scenarios, what goes on there, they will do what's best for you and what's best for the franchising community. And to me, you know, not only do I develop a lot of my relationships through business, but more importantly to me are friendships. I mean, I've traveled all across the world in my involvement in IFA. I've been to some international symposiums. I've been to Australia with IFA. I've been to Brussels, Belgium. I've been to England. I've been many, many places, and these friendships are important to me, and I know anything I want to know about the business, I can call or email anyone in the IFA who will be more than happy. I mean, they have John Rachi of Hoods and Ducks has got a new program about, you'll get the people to help you. You'll really work with these people. I believe the name is called Friendship. And you're getting the people that are going to help you. When you have a question, you can pick up the phone, email them. They're going to help you. Everyone's trying to do it to the betterment of the franchising community.
Absolutely. And I know you're actively involved in the IFA Supplier Forum. What is the mission, for our listeners that don't know, of the IFA Supplier Forum?
Being one of the three stools of the IFA with the franchisees and franchisors, and really the mission of the IFA Supplier Forum is to give them, you have to be join the IFA, and obviously they're going to look at what your credentials, because these are the suppliers that the IFA is recommending to their community, which means the franchisees and franchisors that fit the morals and the standards and really understand the franchising community. You know, there's probably 6 to 8 PR firms in the franchise who are members of the IFA Supplier Forum, and that's because we understand franchising. It is an important part of our businesses. In my situation, in my case, and a lot of us out there, it's 100% of my clients. So I am going to know, I'm going to do what's for the betterment of that. I realize that what we can and can't say, you brought up earnings claims, knowing that what my clients have. Most PR firms, whatever, if you're talking about a law firm, you want to make sure that they have an understanding of the franchise laws. And, you know, most lawyers have no idea what an FDD is. So the whole idea is to give them a resource to our members, the franchisees and the franchisors, of people who have an understanding of the franchising community.
Absolutely. Well, Brad, I knew we would blow through this hour without fail.
Got to realize it was an hour yet.
Yeah, you'll definitely need to come back on the show. Maybe we can schedule something around the IFA convention and help attract more people to the IFA convention.
I would love to do that because it's being in Las Vegas this year. It's a great place. It's the it's a great destination place, and more importantly to a lot of people, it's an affordable thing because of being in Vegas this year.
Right, absolutely. Well, thanks again, Brad. I really appreciate you being on the show today.
Thank you so much, Paul, for having me.
Thanks. Next week, remember, my guest will be Jonathan Redgrave, attorney and partner at Redgrave LLP. Jonathan was recognized in June 2010 as one of the leading lawyers nationally by Chambers and Partners. The show's social media, It's Not All Fun and Games, A Legal Perspective, should be another riveting show on Franchise Today. So until next week, I'm Paul Segretto, wishing you the best of luck in this great thing we call franchising. Franchise Today is out.